Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines. Stay tuned.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Kerry Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry
Hunt. Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
I've been a little on the reflective side in recent weeks, maybe even months. I'm Carrie Hines, and as we kind of wind down to this immense celebration of the Hair Radio Morning Show, I have to say, I have to look ahead. What's next in the journey? Many folks always come up and tell me how remarkable what we've accomplished together has done and what it means to them and their lives. This is not lost on me. I appreciate it. And we have some things that I think you're going to be surprised about. If you think you know everything about Hair Radio, you don't. But we're excited that we get to kind of unveil them together. And this journey really, really does continue. I'm just as enthralled as I was my very first day on the air with the Morning Edition. And that has no chance of slowing up. So as I continue, as we continue, as we welcome new fans, along with our amazing family of fans that we've had over the course of the entire 27 years of doing the Hair Radio Show. It's just been a wonderful ride, and we're still on the highway. So that's it. I'm looking forward to what's next, and we're just going to keep on keeping on. And
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of The Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand, completely living off of black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois. And that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have 2 little girls. That means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our black community my life. The black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine light on what happened in Tulsa. Most black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring black hair care back. There are great black hair care companies that exist, black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the black community can own the biggest black hair care brands, that the black community can own black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in black neighborhoods, and black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the black hair care products that only black people use, and they are not owned by black people. So I've issued the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a black-owned company.
You go, girl. You go, girl is a brand new product line that includes an edge control hairsprays and a product that also offers relief to those dealing with an itchy scalp. Now, if you're looking to moisturize and hold twists and locks in place, You Go Girl offers a gel cream. And for the hair braiders out there, You Go Girl has a hair brand that's made of the highest of quality hair. Now, it's available in a variety of colors and textures. So, go to www.yougogirlbraidhair.com. That's you like uniform, gogirlbraidhair.com. And tell them you heard about them right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. You Go Girl.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
The reason that you're here is actually a very important subject and a very important topic, especially these days in light of where we are in the world. We're talking about finance. And I just wanted to first kind of talk about how you guys plan to, kind of present your information to our listeners and to our fans, because you'll be doing this on a regular basis. So first, let me lead off with you, Reggie. Tell us a little bit. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and then certainly tell us how you plan to engage with our amazing fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show.
All right, thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. Again, my name is Reggie Whiteley, coming to you from Southern California, about 98 degrees today, so we're out here cooking. But previous background and not even financial services prior to this, came from the background of television production and was looking for something a little bit bigger and better as far as upper mobility and career advancement, and always knew that in financial services, and we're talking about financial literacy, money's always moving. And so got introduced to, my current platform by a friend of mine, and hit the ground running. Got very excited about educating people and showing them different avenues and strategies of where to put their money. And look up now, I've been doing this for the last eight and a half years. So been a blessing. And the key thing today I want you to walk away with are some potential financial strategies and at least get a sound financial education or some strategies to put in your portfolio.
Awesome. And Michael, would you like to add to that?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Hi, my name is Michael Gilbreth, and I'm coming to you from Minneapolis, Minnesota. And my background is simply a military one. I come from a military family. My father served in the United States Air Force for 20 years. And, you know, growing up in a stable environment, I never really realized, you know, the financial picture as much as I do now. My father was a very good provider. As I became an adult, I ran into some financial struggles myself until I actually had to learn about finances and how to best utilize my money. And so that's what, you know, I liked about getting into this business here, working with people and families to help them to realize their financial dreams, and that we don't necessarily have to struggle as long as we know what to do with our money.
Well, I think that is a very, very valid point, especially these days. Reggie, I have to ask you, when it comes to this big, big picture of finance, it's so sometimes we feel a little overwhelmed. What kind of advice can you give to someone to kind of be able to start slowly and kind of lead them where you need us to go to help improve our lives, financially speaking?
Great question, great question. I learned early on that one method you have to incorporate, you know, when it comes to saving money and things of that nature, is you have to pay yourself first. You know, I think when we get our income, or as individuals get their checks, they take care of all the bills and all their other priorities and food and everything like that. And what happens, what we see with most families and business owners, they have more month than money because they haven't paid themselves first. And so we want to, again, put in some strategies and methods, especially if a person is new to saving money or investing. Just really give them a grassroots education of what to do and how to do it. And it all starts with consistency and discipline.
Is it ever too late to start? I mean, a lot of us are past, 21 years old or what have you, and we are concerned. And some, you know, we're like, well, you know what, it's too late for me to begin. What do you say to someone who might feel that it's too late to start?
Definitely. Great question, Kerry. I get that all the time. But again, if you have the right vehicles where folks are saving money, it's never too late to start. Even if they don't have, haven't been exposed to some of those vehicles, it's never too late to start, because you'd rather have something than nothing. Most folks look up by the time they're 65, 67 years old and haven't put away much or if anything, and now we see a lot of our senior community, things of that nature, having to go back to work because they never started at all.
And especially now, and I have to say, and Michael, you could even jump in on this, son, folks are out there dealing with so much in the way of this huge pandemic that has stricken the world, literally. Isn't it kind of important that folks take another look and need to stretch their monies as far as they can?
Absolutely, Kerry. One of the things that you'll hear a lot of the seniors say is that they're on a fixed income.
Right, right.
And because they're on a fixed income, they have to cut out certain things in life that they enjoy because they just can't simply afford it anymore once they stop working. What we try to do is help our clients to not realize that, to look beyond a fixed income and look more towards an unlimited income, so that in their retirement years, they can enjoy retirement. You know, when you spend all your years working, you want to be able to enjoy your latter years when you're retired, to be able to travel and maybe do some of the other things that you have not been able to do. So to answer your question, you know, anyone can benefit from what we have to offer. There is no age limit or age requirement. Like Reggie said, it's better to have something in your portfolio or more in your portfolio than nothing.
Awesome. And Reggie, let's talk a little bit more about that. How would you describe what you're offering to give folks that hope?
Well, what I love about our platform is our marketing firm, is World Financial Group. And so we have a huge and broad array of financial services that really cater to middle-income families. We have tons of high-end clients as well, but 98% of families, you know, make less than $100,000 a year. And so most of them don't have access to a financial professional. Is a stat out there, 9 out of 10 middle-income families do not have a financial professional. So they don't know, you know, where to go to get products and services. So we make sure through our trust relationships and our warm market type of referral programs and things of that nature to get into different communities and educate different communities. It's really a new idea to an old industry to how we educate families.
I think that is just amazing. And so you say families, but what about some of the other businesses that are out there? Would these instruments help these folks who have small businesses?
Absolutely, especially depending on whether, for example, if an S-Corp, C-Corp, or LLP, or sole prop, you know, a business objective is to stay in business. So when you, you incorporate different strategies that tackle taxes, business retention, business continuation, most business owners don't have these vehicles implemented to some of their portfolios, and they pay tons in taxes. You know, they're
right.
Things that we offer, executive bonus plans, key person, ILITs, premium financing, you know, is something that's very huge in with businesses. And so, absolutely. And so you could also, most folks don't even know they have access to this stuff just because, again, back to my last point, nobody's ever sat down and educated them. So definitely tons of tax benefits for business owners and simple solutions.
Well, I just think this is going to be awesome. And the fans out there, they will, because they've been asking these questions and they've been waiting for us to get some financial folks on who can certainly be that beacon. So I'm super excited. And you say the name is World Financial Group. So they tell us a little bit more about the company.
Yeah, so World Financial Group, we are part of Transamerica, and there's a company out in the Netherlands by the name of Aegon that actually bought Transamerica. They wanted to have a presence in the United States, and Transamerica was already here, and Transamerica was doing very well. And so WFG was formed out of Transamerica. We are like a marketing arm for them, and we have – the good thing about what we do, Carrie, is that we're not captive, meaning that we're not just relegated to one product. So we have, that means that we have access to about 205 different financial firms, about 3,500 financial products, which makes us very unique in the sense that we have a solution for everybody. And so no matter what your situation is, no matter how old you are, we have a solution that's going to meet your needs. And that is the good thing about what we do.
Okay, well, I have to just put it on out there and address the elephant in the room. When folks hear the name Transamerica, they sometimes can coil, and I don't know, is it that we lump that name in? I'm sorry, that's not the one that we actually lump in with that, but they're these names that we kind of throw them all together when it comes to financial these financial companies that are out there. What can you tell us that will make everybody understand that this company is different?
Great question. I'll take that one if you don't mind, Mike. You know, and there are, like you said, there are tons of financial services companies where individuals and businesses can go out and get insurance and investment planning. But what I think really differentiates us is our opportunity. Our business opportunity, if you will, where you can literally take somebody traditionally, not from financial services, plug them in here, and through our platform and our training program, turn them into a financial professional. It is the best part-time business opportunity on the planet. With, because everybody wants to be in business or in the money game, in my opinion, but they do other things, and, you know, whatever, you know, soothes their heart, that's fine. But at the end of the day, if you're going to have a business, it's going to take capital, which most people don't have. And so with our platform, you have no overhead. You know, I'm blessed to have multiple agents throughout the United States and Canada, and I don't have to worry about payroll. I don't have to worry about insurance. I don't have to worry about headaches, you know. And so it gives right now, especially in our climate, with 40 million people and growing out of work, you think about if they had access to an opportunity that paid out $845 million in commissions last year, right?
Wow.
Or a platform where they implemented some of the strategies that were able right now, allow them to save, you know, have an extra $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 in their nest egg or in their savings account. And so, again, you know, you have hundreds of financial services companies, you know, your Merrill Lynch's and your Charles Schwab's and your Edward Jones, and they're all great companies, but the way we distribute our services and things of that nature is second to none. And folks just don't have the time or the temperament really to take tons and tons of time off of work and learn something new, but if they could do it part-time in the comfort of their own home, you know, during the time of era we're in right now, it's a win-win.
Well, I can even that. I can tell you that fans are they very, very much looking for things on the you guys. Yes, well, this is very important. Finance is never a style and is always welcome to these conversations. And for you guys who are just joining us, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. My very, very special guest today, two gentlemen from the world of finance. We're talking to Mr. Reginald Whiteley and Mr. Michael Gilbreth. Again, welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Kerry, and hello, everyone.
Absolutely. And well, thank you. And when we say welcome, we mean a big welcome because you guys are going to be, yes, you're going to be providing some information on a regular basis about finance. And again, this huge world we're talking about today, we're just giving an overview, if you will. And so, you know, and one of the things that kind of jumped out at me before, there's always been like this kind of under-education when it comes to finance.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you guys think that's the case? I mean, is it the case?
Well, Mike, you want to go first on that one?
Is under-education the case? Is that the question?
Yeah, that's the question.
Yes, under-education is definitely the case. I mean, if you think about it, how did the majority of us learn about finances? For me, I learned basically by trial and error, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that's taught in school. I definitely didn't learn about it in elementary school, high school. Even in college, I didn't really learn about finances and the different things that you can do. So through trial and error and reading, you know, I read books and, you know, going to the internet to find out information. So a lot of us are self-taught when it comes to financial affairs. The reason why maybe it's not something that's as wholesome and taught like science, maybe it's a way to keep people in the dark, you know, because
Yeah.
Obviously, those who have money know how to get it, know how to utilize their money. And those of us that are accustomed to not having much and living paycheck to paycheck, a lot of times it's just because we're not informed. And it's a way to, I guess, suppress people in a sense. But we have to have a made-up mind to where we're determined to step outside of the norm and really get out of our, I would say, out of our comfort zone to learn more and all that we can so that we can create wealth, not just wealth for today, but wealth for generations to come, you know, for our kids' kids, and et cetera down the line. We need to be able to create generational wealth. And I think for people of our kind anyway, it's very important that we start to do that so that we can start having our own and not depending upon someone else's brand. We can create our own brand.
Absolutely. Well, I cannot, there's nothing to add on to that comment.
Absolutely not. Thank you.
Yes. I want to just ask you, gentlemen, about this. How important and in the way of community, does community play a part at all in getting the financial literacy that we need to get across to everybody? Is there a way that we can somehow inspire the greater folks out there in the community? What do you guys say to that thought?
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of piggyback what Mike was talking about, you know, you know, the old saying, it takes a community
village,
to raise
right?
a child.
Yeah.
Take a village, right? And so it does take a community, and it takes strong leadership, you know, in my opinion, to make sure that these philosophies and strategies are implemented, especially in, you know, communities of color. Because, like Mike pointed out, you know, this is not taught in schools or anything of that nature. There are three states that actually teach financial education, you know, in the classroom, in elementary classroom. But everybody's teaching sex ed, right?
Right.
And, and so it does take a community. And I think we're getting to the time and the era where people are kind of fed up with, you know, not learning, not knowing how to, you know, budget their finances or even be a business owner. And so what I love about our platform, that's the main purpose of why we exist, teaching you how to be in business and have different write-offs and, you know, if you do have some sort of business. But definitely we all have to work together to get access to all these strategies and find education. So everybody's not sure.
Awesome. And since you mentioned that, and you're out in California, and Minnesota. So
yes, sir.
What about the folks, our fans, we have folks tuned in from literally all over America. Are you in a position to help folks with any types of questions that they might have, financially speaking? Does it matter what state they're in other words?
No, not at all. Actually, you know, and my heart goes out to anybody that's been affected through, you know, COVID-19 and things of that nature. So, you know, definitely keeping them in our prayers. On a business standpoint, you know, people's businesses are exploding just because of the timing. You know, timing is everything. If you look at it from a business standpoint, if you're looking to for some education or financial services, you know, in this Zoom era or Google Meets or, you know, different platforms we utilize now to reach out to anybody throughout the world. And so those have been our main platforms educating anybody throughout the United States and Canada.
Awesome. Well, I am very, very excited. We're going to tell the fans right now that you'll be able to go to our Salon TV Network app and submit your questions. So we'll get you more involved and informed exactly how that's going to work as you guys begin to roll out your wonderful, wonderful financial broadcast right here.
Fantastic.
On the Hair Radio Morning Show. So we're going to be talking about that. Yes, awesome. So any last words or kind of what you mentioned about what you would like us to have as our takeaway, but do you want to expound on that just a bit so we know what to walk away with this morning?
Yeah, if I may, I would just say, you know, start to, again, like I mentioned before, start to pay yourself first. I know whether it's even, you know, $10, $20, because sometime, you know, most families run into some tough times or hit a tough spot to where some extra money is needed. So, again, I think discipline and consistency with something, especially saving money, will help you in the long run. And then if, you know, we have the opportunity to speak to one of us or one of our associates, then we definitely can potentially implement something that can get you saving in a much better position.
Yeah.
So save.
Wow. Okay. Well, did you want to add to that?
Yes, sir. I'd like to add to that. This is Michael in Minneapolis again. But, you know, God has given us the blueprint when it comes to putting away money. He gave us the blueprint through the tithe, when he talks about the 10%. You know, God only requires of us to give him 10%. So guess what? That leaves 90% of monies that we make that we can do whatever we want to with it. The question is, do we take that 90% and just blow it? Do we take that 90% and maybe spend surplus things that we don't necessarily need? Or do we take that 90% to take care of our needs and also set ourselves up for a future? Not only our future, but our kids' future, and so on and so forth for generations to come. You know, there's a way that we can take the money that we make and divvy it out accordingly so that we can live the type of life that we want to live. And I'll ask the prefaces, not just for today, but we have to think beyond today. We have to think beyond what we see now and think about what the future is going to look like. None of us knew that we'd be in the era of COVID-19 right now. But guess what? This is where we are. We don't know what's to come in the future either. So what can we do to protect our families, protect our monies, protect our futures by putting aside, like Reggie said, putting aside a little bit here, a little bit there, so that we can grow?
Well, on that note, Mr. Michael and Mr. Reggie, I have to say thank you both. I really do.
Thank you. This has
just been an awesome time spent discussing finance. And you've always seen questions that I'm just excited, really. So,
Reggie,
and Ms. Michael, I want to do again seeing what's on the show.
Thank you, Terry.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Kerry Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
I have a product called Organic Love Collection Shea Butter. It's a sensual shea butter. And once you apply it, it reinvigorates the skin. It takes care of blemishes, hyperpigmentation. It has all kinds of beautiful oils in it. And what it does for the hair, the nails, and the skin is to renew it and to make you feel beautiful, and moreover, to restore you to self-love and self-care. We're a Christian organization, and we're in the community trying to educate people on eczema, psoriasis, breaking hair, alopecia, things of that nature. And this product is a cure-all for the whole family. If you grab the jar or the bottle, it comes in a liquid and solid. It deals with eczema within 3 days. The longest it'll take is 7 days to restore your skin. And most of all, it's great for the scalp and very uplifting to the hair. It keeps the hair moist and free of breakage and moreover manageable. So as you work with it, if you have natural hair, it won't break. And if you have permed or color processed hair, it'll continue to allow for it to have the elasticity it needs so that your mane grows beautiful and healthy. Currently, we are on social media where business is just starting out. So I started on Instagram, once again, Instagram. And the name of the company is Organic Love Collection. And we can also be found through Instagram on Big Cartel. So the product could be purchased at organiclovecollection.bigcartel.com.
Repeat that one more time.
Organiclovecollection.bigcartel.com.
I think with all of the conversations that I've had probably in the last year, Kerry, and of course, you know, we've had our industry, hair, beauty, and skin, and, you know, ethnic beauty has taken a hard hit. So I think one of the most important projects to me is to tell my story of just how I grew up in black hair care at the beginning of the boom as the billion-dollar economic industrial revolution of what we call the curl, even though we were coming out of pressing curls and going into the afro. So that's one of the things I'm working on. It's a documentary of my life and how I grew up in black hair care. And some of the people, it's funny, you know, because people would always say, you know, we had all this wealth and black dynasties and of generating black wealth. but where did the kids go? You know, where did the money go? Where did that whole wealth gap, where is it? And so I feel, you know, a sense of responsibility to at least tell it from my perspective. So that it's almost like that, all that wealth kind of like evaporated.
And so, well, that's what I'm going to ask you. Yeah, where did the money go? That's the question, the million-dollar question here, literally.
Yeah.
We're talking about generations of hair industry superstar folks.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, so
it's a complex conversation because you can't talk about where the wealth went until you talk about there's a conversation that I do address called gerontocracy. And gerontocracy is when the passing doesn't happen. And your predecessors stay too long. And they stay too long because they're not adapting. And we always talk about how companies should adapt to the, you know, you adapt inside before you see signs of the changing of the trends or changing of the times. And so there's a thing that and when you get into the 70s and 80s, most of those companies were ran by men, black men. And so black men tend to look at their children differently.
Watch it, show, Marl. No, please.
Black women. You know, no, they do. And it's, let's just say, you know, you have your John Johnson, you have your George Johnson, you have your Mr. Dudleys, you have your Mr. Morrows, you have your Mr. Bronners, you have the World of Curls and the Donnies and the Leisure Curls. You had these men. And so they did have children. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the limelight is addictive. The limelight is addictive. And they just don't see the continuity of their legacies through their children. It sounds like a good thing. They know they should do it, but they don't do it. You know, and so
there's a
cultural thing. And then when you have the Eunice Johnsons and the Celia DeVore, and you have Dr. Katie Wickhams, and you have this when you have women. They tend to let go a little easier. So those legacies can continue. But there is just like a real cultural thing. And then I get into it, into the documentary, because it's real talk. Mm. You know, this is not just us wanting to pass wealth. It's not us wanting to just close wealth gaps. You can't close wealth gaps if you don't have the continuity of the predecessor into the succession plan, which is your children.
I agree.
You can't close a gap because the gap keeps getting wider because white America keeps passing it on and locking it within their culture. We don't. It's a cultural thing.
We don't
I get
really,
into that.
Yeah,
we don't get it.
Well, let me ask you
about
that
a little bit,
Cheryl.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that because, you know, I mean, on a simplistic term, in a very simple way, I talk to a lot of hairstylists, you know, throughout the years, and I always ask them about, you know, they open up the shops, and very basic. I say, well, what about your kids, you know, or they helping you or working at the shops and, you know, and this and that. And they cannot get those kids to help them at the shops. The kids generally take it for granted. You know, they've got all the money that comes from, the parents' hard work at these salons and barbershops, and they just go on and living a very, great life from the benefits of the financial aspect, but they do nothing to support the parents' hard work, and they truly are not going to be heading up any kind of, taking on a business. That's just not even on the table. And I always wondered about that, and I kind of think about it for my own company. So this is something that is very, very important. It's a big disparity between the African-American community with regards to succession, I call it, and the and the people who are outside of our community. So this is really something that is very interesting to me. And I know you're on a different level with it, but it just – I don't understand. Is it just just something that the kids don't – you know, should we expect them to want to, you know, pass – you know, to continue on in their, with their parents' legacy? You know, is this something?
Yeah, but think about it, Gary. I didn't want to be a barber. My father started out as a barber.
Right.
The key here is that Mr. Marl created a company. Now, think about it. Most hair, you know, because I'm a hairstylist. I get it.
Yes.
The problem is that their hairstyling portion of their business is not a company. So there is no room to do other things besides maybe promotions or marketing of the, the parents' actual skill sets, which is doing hair. Where else is there other means of doing something else if the child or if the offspring is not at, doesn't want to do hair? And just think of this analogy, and I always tell them when I get this question, you know, do I, would I really want to inherit a cotton picking business? You know, black people pick cotton, and, you know, would I want to pass that on? You know, so the physical portions of, you know, businesses are not companies. Businesses is one thing, and a company is another. So in a company is encased, which I always tell people, I'm an intrapreneur. I'm not an entrepreneur. I don't need to make anything. I don't need to discover anything. I don't need to do any of that. What I need to do is to come in with something already formed and take it to the next level. So because my father had a company, right, he had a company which had, you know, roots, and then it springed out with branches and leaves. So there was so many branches to him because they – and just take the Johnson daughter, you know, with Ebony and Jet. Because Ebony and Jet and was really actually a beauty business. There was Duke and Ravine, just relaxer, and Duke was a men's line. There was so many other things to do within Johnson Publishing. So it was an actual company.
Right.
So that tends to allow the successor to kind of fit in and take the reins. But if you are just a business, which hair salons are, barber, you tend to tie to the parent's physical skills. And yeah, you really have a very difficult time with that, with the succession plan.
Well, now you are talking about in this, in your upcoming documentary, we're talking about some of the biggest names in the hair industry. And so I'm just, one of the things that jumps out at me, have you heard any feedback from some of those, you know, some of those families, some of those super well-known hair industry superstar families? Have you gotten any feedback? What are their thoughts?
Well, the problem, well, too, when you are acquired by big companies like Procter & Gamble or L'Oreal, and you evaporate. Yeah, you. There is nothing to, unless they you stay on as a consultant or something of that nature. But no,
and that doesn't
you evaporate.
Usually last too long. Yeah, eventually.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Cheryl Morrow. Wow. Just amazing.
Yeah.
Just amazing. I'm looking forward to this documentary.
well,
so
funny because I was in it. I was in the studio doing San Diego Monitor News business as a publisher because we now had it at a podcast studio, right? And in the middle of that, I see I get a phone call from Chicago or someplace, and they want, you know, 1,000, you know, Willie Morrow blow-dry novels. It's just that, you know, here I go. I'm in the newspaper, but I get calls about something that was created over 45 years ago. And it's still the number one heat tool on Amazon. That is succession.
Well,
so I have to take an order for
let's...
something in beauty.
Yeah.
It's an amazing
thing.
Exactly. Because That's a company.
I absolutely want to remind everybody about the amazing legacy and lineage that you have. So we're talking about the Morrow family dynasty. So I'm in the hair business, and your father, as you just mentioned, that starting with the novel, tell us a little bit about his invention, because that really, that hit the mark out there and made him pretty much a household name in the hair industry, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, just combs, period. I think that in those 60s, 1964, bringing to commercial market is the brilliance of Mr. Morrow, not the fact that creating or duplicating something that had already been done in the continent of Africa. So the comb in and of itself is not the invention. The invention is to be able to put it in industrial commerce to make it available, because if you didn't go to the continent of Africa in 1963, 1964, you wouldn't get it.
You weren't going to get it, right?
Yes.
Correct.
So the ability for him to take it, to redesign it, patent it, take it to the U.S. Congress, put it into commerce, and to commercialize it, monetize it, right, and productize it, and make it available for black people in the West Indies, black people in North America, black people in Canada, you know, in Europe, and black people in Asia, black people in Africa too. They didn't know it was a thing, you know. So we could fashion and style our hair and be a part of the secular world. So the Afrocomb was put in the secular world by Mr. Morrow by redesigning it and industrializing it. It's the same process as taking tobacco. Yeah, tobacco is natural in its environment, but to make it be consumed and then enrich yourself by that great legacy called an Afrocomb, and then making other people have it in Cuba and you know, in Hawaii and other places. So that was the brilliance. And then to create this generation, and then you have the first one, and then the next generation of them, and then to have utility patents, and then go into, you know, making a comb and a blow dry so we could have blowouts, straightened hair, and things of that nature. That was, I think, the difference between a Mr. Morrow, a Joe Dudley, a Gardner, a Fashion, a different angle. To being part of the legacy of ethnic beauty.
Absolutely. And I just want to also bring attention to that documentary, because to me, 400 years without a comb was so far ahead. Now, documentaries are a lot more, out there. Maybe it has a lot to do with the pandemic that we have come through. But I do want to say that the documentary, that documentary really started a lot of the hair industry documentaries, if you will, to me. You know, I think it's one of the most well-known and most seen hair industry documentary in the world. So, and we're talking about 400 years without a comb, and it's still out there, and I'm just loving that. So, again, we're talking about hair legacies.
It started out as a book. And I think that that is probably one of the reasons why it's the hair care, you know, historical Bible that everyone goes to, you know, because it's a three-generation book. In all three decades, Mr. Morrow rewrote it. And then in the last... in the last, the fourth quarter of its generation and its edition, he created, and Mr. Morrow just really deals with the culture inside of the plantation, and it starts there, because the commercial market that you and I enjoy was started on the plantation. It formed itself into. And because of that complete disconnection for about three centuries, that disconnection from the world's first organized beauty kind of, you know, that activity, the way we did it, you know, it was not quite done. When Europe went to colonialize Africa, that is where they learned hygiene. The roots of beauty is hygienic, not, you know, fashion and styling and things of that nature. But it was basically really had its roots in hygiene. And I think that starting there, only a black person could have done that, period. You know, no one cared about
absolutely,
obviously, how you fashioned
absolutely
yourself and cleaned yourself and how you, you know, became this really sophisticated society and culture, and how you, you know, you did things, you know, with your body and your health and well-being. No one was interested in that type of story. So, yeah, once again, Mr. Morrow hit it on the head, you know.
And it didn't stop there. The San Diego Monitor News, I want to talk about that. Can you tell us a little bit, for those who are outside of the California experience, if you will, what exactly is that? And I believe that it you go everywhere with it. So tell everybody about it.
We turned from New York. I lived in New York for 19 years. And, you know, one of the things that, and this is me, you know, I'm going to tell this story in the documentary. One of the reasons why Mr. Morrow got into publishing is not really because he had a great love for journalism, but black people don't really understand that it's legacy to get a newspaper. All hair care men, all hair care families, it was almost like a rite of passage. You had to get a publication. You know, most people think that John Johnson got the publication and then got into the hair business. No, John Johnson, was already in beauty. So their mentor, S.B. Fuller, always told them and taught Joe Dudley, George Johnson, which is Ultra Sheen, Johnson Product, and then John Johnson, which was Johnson Publishing. When you start your beauty line, you get you a newspaper. So Mr. Morrow was just following the great recipe and the great formula of success of S.B. Fuller, one of his mentors. So
yes, yes,
all of them got newspapers. So Mr. Morrow got created one in San Diego in 1986 because of the mentor Bill Thompson. And creating, S.B. Fuller always taught them that you create your own advertising tool. So if you get on the cover of somebody else's publication, that was fine. But make sure that you are always, you create a product, you got to have a way to advertise it. So create a magazine in and of itself, put some content. And you see how forward they were, actually? And
oh,
you
yeah.
think about
oh,
how,
yeah.
how powerful
that,
content
yeah.
is today. Yeah.
But oh, absolutely! They were way ahead.
Yeah,
yes.
It was. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was opposite. You know, it was to be the power of the advertisement. You know, be ahead. Put amazing. Yourself on your own cover. Put yourself. You know, look bigger than you know you actually are. You know, put your own content out there, your own stories, and then put yourself on the on the cover, and then put your own ads in. Yeah, so it was always about advertising, the actual
yeah.
root business. So that's how Mr. Morrow
exactly.
got into it, and then, of course, and it just rolled into a journalistic product, you know, local business, local people, and things of that nature. And then
which I love,
been
yeah.
adjudicated for over almost, you know, we're heading into 4 years, you know. And so I had just
amazing.
Taken over, and of course, in 2010, I turned it digital. I saw the handwriting on the wall, and I was the first black paper in the state of California to be adjudicated and digitized at the same time. So it was I made sure that I created a hybrid. And it was probably because of my technical skills, you know, graphic skills and technical skills and all that stuff I learned while I was in New York. That I could make that turn and that very, very quickly. So
Well, I love the stories that you guys cover. We've got to tell folks,
thank
how
you,
can they get their hands or see? Oh, absolutely. I love when you guys put things out on the internet and, you know, and I see and you do such good work. I love the pictures and the graphics and everything. You're not telling the same stories that everybody else is telling. And that's...
No, I refuse to.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think that our people need orientation and information. You know, because, you know, at the end of the day, we have a saying, if you're not informed, news doesn't matter. You know, if you don't know anything.
Whoa.
You don't know anything.
I have to write that one down. If you're not informed, the news doesn't matter. Wow. That says it all. Wow. Okay. You know, let me bring everybody on up to speed with this. If you're kind of just joining us, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the All Know Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, my very special guest today. She really returns back to us. It's been quite a while. So she comes back to the Hair Radio Morning Show. You guys know her. She was out here with us on the East Coast. But she's returned to California, the San Diego area, as we were just talking about, the SDMN, San Diego Monitor newspaper, which we just love, this San Diego Monitor News, I should say. So, Cheryl, how can folks, can they get this online? Do you have a place that you can send everybody to find out more, to set, to register?
Yeah, it's a mobile site. So you can get it on your mobile device. And you can go to the website, sdmonitornews.com. Yeah, our story content is very off the beat. I am very picky what our readers are exposed to. They're always are going to get a very avant-garde, a very different way of looking at things. And I'll be honest, I believe that's one of our impediments. We are so 1960s directed. We are so infused in the 1960s that to get, you know, especially African Americans out of the 60s and 70s, it's very hard to get us back into the present moment of who we are.
Exactly.
And I tell them all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah. You think about it, African Americans, all 46 million, the average age of an African American in this country is 26 years old.
Isn't that,
and then
wow,
dealing with the African diaspora, they're 19. So if you think about 26 and 19, then, you know, that's a lot of time that, you know, we've got to look at things differently. We've got to look
we
at things very,
do.
Very millennial. And I think that could be one of our strengths. Thinking
absolutely.
About things in such a different way to get something. I have also another saying, you know, we want something we've never had. We've got to do something we've never done. We've got to think ways
exactly.
that we've never thought. And
exactly. Well, let me turn to probably the, I'm going to call it the elephant in the room, and that is the pandemic. Yes, and I know that's a topic and a half. That's we'll probably have to add on 2 or 3 hours to cover this one. But what is your take when you look back? Because right now, as we go to the air with this particular broadcast today, we are more than what they're saying in terms of emerging and all of that. And what can you say looking back? What was the experience like in California and the hair biz part where you were? And California, to me, California is a very different, had a very different approach with all of that. But what's your take? You are living there.
Yeah.
What's
well,
your
let me
take
say this.
On
because
whole,
of
yeah.
the weather, because of the weather, I think we made an adjustment very quickly because we could go outside very quickly. We were always outside, you know. And so I think that they adjusted well. I think African Americans did not adjust well because, of course, you know. And to me, let me just say this: the elephant in the room is not really quite the pandemic, from my perspective. The elephant in the room is that the fact that Black people are prone to be frightened, much more traumatized than our other racial counterparts. So we don't adjust well. We have the boogeyman. You know, everything's the boogeyman for us. And our people, secretly in our silos, were saying, oh, stay in. You know, and that is not quite good for business. So if you are naturally afraid, you don't pivot. You're very slow to react. And you can imagine, Carrie, I was very avant-garde and had a different take on it, you know, because after, I would probably say March of 2020, it was not a pandemic at that point. It was an epidemic in the United States, an epidemic in Brazil. It wasn't a pandemic at that point. Other world governments had contained it. And so that's, but we keep saying the
world. We were slow to get it
under the rest of the world. Like the rest of the world had our issues. No, the rest of the world, the continent of Africa barely is reaching 4,000 deaths. The whole 54 countries.
The whole continent,
That's enormous if you think about it. And there's something quite not right with that. You know, within 50 to 100 to 200 miles, you know, from where we quote unquote say it began. I mean, they have less than maybe 300. And so it wasn't a pandemic long. It was an epidemic. And I think that because our news outlets, and speaking of the San Diego Monitor News, I just refuse to kind of put fuel on the fire and I didn't take, and I'm going to say this, you know, I didn't take any COVID money. I refused to because I can't say no, because you can't really stay.
Well, they were throwing it out there.
Yeah, they were.
Let
me just say this. And I refused to kind of have, and I think I did it once. And you know, Carrie, I just couldn't do it because one of the things, because it doesn't allow you to look at things objectively. And if we're going to have black news, and if we're going to be very neutral, you can't be involved in that kind of thing. And let me just say this, as our mother company, which is Beauty, I can afford to do that. And I understand that most papers needed that money to, you know, so, hey, right. And because I was digitized prior to 10 years ago, I pivoted very quickly to digital and still maintained my other advertisers. So, you know, 2020 was not, it did not affect me. Not economically.
That is amazing. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, because
and
the
so,
the census was going on at the same time. So that was very surprising.
Yeah, that's true. Which changed the game here in New York for us to a degree. I have to say, though, as looking out, so what are some of the, you know, when you look at the beauty industry, you know, how, in your opinion, has it affected the folks in the beauty industry? I mean, especially, like you said, in California, though, see, you guys were, remind me of Georgia, right after this pandemic was kind of declared, right? Georgia was like, okay, we're like literally about 2 weeks later. We're all over this again, everybody. I mean, literally.
Yeah.
I remember having panel discussions on our broadcast here on the Hair Radio Morning Show in the year 2020. It was just strange, a very strange dynamic in different states.
Yeah.
And so the industry was very different, and then with and we've had the people from Barbicide and all these other folks on, and they scared the bejesus out of us with the discourse on television news, as you were kind of saying. It's almost surreal. So So when you look at the beauty industry, will we make it? What do you think?
Well, you know, I don't even think it's that the salon. I think that we could have pivoted. That I also was involved in some technology and formulation and dealing with a disinfectant that covers you from all viruses 9.993.
Really?
And it protects you for 90 days. You don't even have to sanitize. Once you sanitize your
hands,
you know, you protect it. Yes. We have it in production.
Wow.
It has all of its OSHA and FDA passage. So I answered it in a very technological way. But here's the thing, Carrie. It's not about what's going on in the salon, per se, because black hair care professionalism is wired through the salon. But the industry is wired through the trade show. Once you took the trade show and you could not meet in the grove of 7,000 to 10,000 people, you decimated the ethnic hair care industry because the ethnic hair care industry is wired through the trade show. So now the expo, and now the festival, and now the trade shows, you can't meet. So how do you carry along something that is wired through the actual platforming, hairstyle, and trade show, and all these big, huge halls and auditoriums.
Exactly.
And conventions. When you can't meet.
And I'm raising my hand right now.
You've devastated. Yeah. And so that means that ethnic hair care, because the Warner Brothers, as you know it, is over. The international show in New York is over. You can't meet.
Wow.
Those are too many people in one confined space, and now, you know, you're trying to stay 6 feet apart, you know, and you got to, you know, that is a nightmare.
It was a show killer for sure. Yeah.
And so the
problem
is that.
Yeah, please finish your thought. The problem is.
No. The question and the challenge for black hair care and ethnic beauty is we needed to pivot long before this. And I have been telling show promoters for at least 5 years, pivot to the small conference and the more con kind of business model and create a different kind of gathering to where it's an invited list. And it happens more often instead of twice a year.
Exactly.
And so,
I speak to 1,000%
you know,
years. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, they act like I didn't, you know, say anything. So, you know, invite the formulators. You know what I mean? Invite, create a TED Talk style, or there's so many other ways to bring smaller groups. Yeah.
Exactly, and to create those lanes that'll support you and take you through these times. Now, Cheryl, I've got to say, there is one big story that we are revisiting here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. And this, not too long ago, but there was a huge story. Now, I'm telling you, it was the number one covered story, especially in the hair and beauty industry, but it had crossed over into mass media. And this was the story of the Gorilla Glue girl who had put the glue in her hair, the Gorilla Glue. And she was rescued, so to speak, by a California doctor, Dr. Michael Obeng, who was a guest on our very show, on the Hair Radio Morning Show. He spoke to Hair Radio first about this this ordeal for this young woman and how he was able to remedy the situation. But let's start with your take on this, because we're talking about this again as we'll be checking in to see what's new and what's the latest that's going on. It's been a few months. Has her hair grown back? What happened? What's going on? So we will revisit it. But what's your take on this situation? I wish I could have seen your face when you heard this on the news.
You know,
I wish I could have just been a fly on the wall.
Let me just say this. Yeah, you know it. I'm always going to be honest with you, Terry.
Yeah.
Wow. And let me just say this. And I am in no way invalidating anybody The doctor thing was to me was, you know, a little far out there. You know, it's so funny because the glue, and here we go again, and this is me sticking up for my beauty and beauty professionals, because I am a hairstylist. For that particular act connected with a doctor, to me, you know, because at the end of the day, the glue in and of itself is not a medication. That's number one. Number two, it's not, it's in the store where a common person can purchase it. And for not a beauty professional to not be able to help her, and I won't even say be able to help her, right? Because what the medical professional used to unstick the stickiness of the solution, anybody could have done that. Because what he used to do that. Now, will you save the hair from the high content of what the effects because of that particular chemical that in that glue did it, you know, because we have to ask what was on the hair first. Was it relaxed?
Exactly.
Was it natural? You know, at the end of the day. So, and to me, because it probably was not really on her scalp, that the scalp hair is probably the hair that is going to obviously be the healthiest. I already know in terms of, you know, of course, we don't necessarily talk about it all the time, but I'm the only cosmetic trichologist in the world that deals with cosmetology-based hair loss on afro textures. But, you know, eventually that hair is going to be cut away from her body. Yeah. It's not going to be. It's not going to be. So,
Cheryl,
you know, I don't know. I don't know how much help he was. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, he.
I'm a little in the middle. Yeah, I'm a little in the middle with the doctor angle, you know, because eventually.
Well, you've got to be back on the show when he's here. So, because I would love for you to break it all down with Dr. Obeng, who just seems like a nice gentleman and all. But, you know, there's a whole lot more to this story. There is. There's a great deal of this story. Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
And I'm just grateful that we were in the middle of it somewhere. I'm just grateful we were there.
At the end of the day, you have to cover it. You know, if nothing is black, you know, black news and ethnic beauty news, that story was a prime example of it. Absolutely.
Yes. Well, I am honored. Again, we've been chatting with the amazing Cheryl Morrow. Hair royalty, you've been declared and named that for decades. We've been calling that hair royalty right here on our broadcast today. I appreciate
it.
I've always wanted to you know, when I hear some of these big stories and some of these big things, I always say, what in the world would Cheryl Morrow say? Really, what would you say about it? Because you always have an interesting
The moment I saw that,
ways.
You know, because you know the moment I saw it, I was like, oh, God, here we go again. You know, why didn't she just end up at a salon? How did we get to the doctor?
Yeah.
I mean, that's, like, really weird, you know. But anyway,
Yes. Well, it's about education, and that's where you come in, education. And what was that line earlier? If you're not informed, then the news don't matter.
If you're not informed, news doesn't matter. Yeah, you can't gossip with anybody who's not really informed about what they're gossiping about. You know, you can't gossip.
I love
it. You know?
I love it.
That's it.
I totally agree. Well, Cheryl Morrow, now what's next for you? What's next for you?
I think that I am going to probably be peeling away from the publisher kind of role at San Diego Monitor News. The George Floyd thing kind of took me out. I think I wanted to be at the helm
during that incident and the 1 year anniversary and, you know, all of these things.
Well, were you one of those
coming
who
up.
Were you against the use of the word anniversary? I didn't understand that because anniversary means, you know, just that. It doesn't indicate or mean that it was, you know, party on a table per se. But I saw a lot of stuff online that said, oh, don't call it an anniversary. No media company call it an anniversary. It's not a celebration. So I said, well, I understand what I think what the person meant or their sentiment, but I don't think that I don't see what the harm of the word itself, anniversary. How do you weigh in, being a media company, Ms. Publisher of the San Diego Monitor News?
Oh,
how
boy.
Do you weigh in on that?
Well, you know, the wonderful thing that I got a call one day, and it was the first cousin of Mr. Floyd. Mm. Their mother are sisters, and he is stationed here in San Diego. And he grew up with him. And
wow.
After, you know, experiencing that whole thing, you know, it really, you know, that is tomato, tomato. You know, anniversary, who cares?
Yeah.
You know, we
yeah.
know what, it, you know, it,
yeah.
it, what happened.
We
and,
know what it really means.
You know,
exactly.
Well, we get caught up in things of that nature. And I think that once we deal with our trauma, about it, then we can clearly talk about preventing it. And that is very hard to get. And that's why I don't join a lot of black news outlets. I'm just,
the chatter,
you know, we're just
and
different.
All that stuff.
Yeah, we're just different
yeah.
because at the end of the day, on this end of the world, we have a wonderful civil rights activist and founder of the People Alliance for Justice Advocates. His name is Reverend Shane Harris. You know, he's approaching it in terms of preventing and plucking out the next Derek Chauvin. It's not, you know, George is one focus that people can focus on, but at the end of the day, we're not plucking out. I mean, he had 7 to 8 excessive forces on his record already, 19 years. Why didn't we understand that this guy was a problem? You know, so
exactly.
let's just focus
exactly.
on, so on our side of the world, we're choosing to think tank and focus on better policy in that regard from the incident. And my experience with Mr. Gary Jones, which is a cousin, he's in the military as well, you know, San Diego, that is, we're known for that. I think that, you know, it's you know, we can ring the bell. But, you know, you listen to the recording, you know, it's
wow.
he's going to jail for fraud, which means that they were executioner, judge, and jury.
Just
arriving on the scene. So we want to prevent
right.
that because there's something that happens before excessive force. And there is a disregard of the Constitution. And that is the problem. This is a problem when they approach you that you are outside of the rules. And why is, you know, I tell Black Lives Matter and the whole people, Black lives don't matter, won't matter until Black life matters. And so that
Ooh,
is what
okay.
happens before the incident.
Yeah. Yeah.
And once that happens,
wow.
that will, then when Black life matters, the way we, who we are in and of ourselves, when that matters to you, like it matters to you, you know, like your life and white life, Italian life, and, you know, when that when life matters, the way people live and how they move and their ways and their efforts and their ethos, what that
Cheryl,
matters,
we have,
then we will.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, we have mm-hmm. about 60 seconds. I wanted to just to thank you. And is there anybody that you'd
yeah.
like to shout out to or pass along some well thoughts before we close out this morning?
Oh, just the whole ethnic beauty world. I think that we're all in it together, and we're going to make
yeah.
a change, bring some technology and innovation, and work with Carrie to
yes, please
create this whole new gathering, this whole new way of doing things and expound on the legacies of the pioneers. Absolutely. I'm excited, Carrie.
Absolutely. Me too. I am. Well, as you've heard, we've been chatting today with the one and only Ms. Cheryl Morrow. Again, and I love that you've talked about the hair industry. I think that you brought a lot to that, you know, in making, informing the folks out there and creating your own discourse. Again, the San Diego Monitor News, you are a publisher. You're the daughter of Willie Morrow, 400 Years Without a Comb, and so much more he's accomplished. And you are continuing that legacy. So you talk about the generations, the subsequent generations, and where the money, where's the money? Well, I think we found it to this morning.
Yes.
Okay, Ms. Cheryl Morrow.
Thank you.
I think we found it. So look out for, yes, we'll look out for her documentary, folks. And stay with us. We've got a lot more this morning of the Hair Radio Morning
yes.
Show to go. It's been my pleasure to have you, Cheryl.
Thank you. Can't wait to come back.
Well, Madam C.J. Walker, most everyone has heard of her. And because when I'm in a crowd of, let's say, 1,000 people, and I ask, how many hear of Madam C.J. Walker? And hands go up everywhere. She's an incredible person. She fought against lynching. She gave money for fighting against lynching. She went to Washington, D.C. to help create legislation against lynching. She was a woman of great character who helped to develop entrepreneurs, women entrepreneurs. And yet, the question I generally have in a situation like that is, okay, what well did she draw her water from? Who,
right.
What shoulders did she stand on to become who she was? And so I bumped into Annie Malone. And hardly in that same crowd of 1,000 people, you might have 99% of the folks raising their hand about Annie Malone, about Madam C.J. Walker, but then you might have three
no
or four
one.
People
right, exactly.
saying they know who Annie Malone is.
Right.
So I figured I'm going to make it part of my life mission is to help help people know about who Annie Malone is.
Yes.
Because she
a little
was...
Bit. Yes, go ahead. Go right ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. She was...
Oh, no. She was an incredible person. She was actually, she trained up over 75,000 women entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
She trained Madam C.J. Walker in 1905, and Madam C.J. Walker became a Poro agent, because that was the name of her college, Poro College. She built this beautiful building in St. Louis, Missouri, four stories high. It looks. I have an original book that people can get off Amazon if they go to parocollege.com. And Paro College, it's just very simple. The word, first word is four letters. Paro, P as in Paul, O as in ocean, R as in Ralph, O as in ocean, Paro, like P-O-R-O, college.com. And they'll see this building, and then they also see a booklet that she published back in 1926. And a part of my Black History collection, yeah, I have an original one of those 1926 booklets. There's very few of them around. And when you open up the booklet, the first thing you start looking at is how incredible this building is. It's like it's straight. If I just showed you a picture of some of the rooms, you would swear it's out of Wall Street, New York. And this particular building was a building where she trained up, as I mentioned, over 75,000 women entrepreneurs who she gave cash awards to for saving accounts or home purchases. She gave a diamond ring to them after 5 years of service. Her philanthropy toward them and toward others was legendary. This building is just an incredible place that she created for this. She owned a whole city block in Chicago. She paid, imagine this, 1926 alone, she paid over $40,000 in taxes. Just think about that.
Amazing.
One of the first
Amazing.
People in the entire state of Missouri to own a Rolls Royce. And
who was actually the very first self-made female African-American millionaire? Was
well,
it Annie Malone, or was it, I mean, not that it, you know, is something we should, you know, compare on any level, but I'm just curious because I've always grown up thinking it was Madam C.J. Walker with all of her, you know, things and accomplishments.
Yeah, from all the research I've done, if I were a betting man, and I'm not a gambling man, but if I were, I'd bet the farm that Annie Malone was the first millionaires of African descent, women, female millionaires in the country.
And that's
just
what I'm getting.
But timing.
Why? How on this earth? I try to figure this out as well. How did? And I love Madam. I love both and all the things that they
no
stand for.
They're both are wonderful. Yes.
Absolutely.
And that's not even part of the discussion here.
Right. Exactly. But how on this earth did Madam C.J. Walker take all the things that she learned, which I'm sure was a wonderful tribute to Annie Malone? And seems that only America, seems like we only remember or know of the accomplishments of the student as opposed to the teacher.
I think a lot of it had to do with Annie Malone. What happened is that she ended up getting married in, I think it was 1924-ish, right around there. And what happened is that after she got married, her husband, he was not a very good man, and he caused such incredible problems for her that I just shake my head, and felt that he was due so much more than and they ended up getting divorced. Let me put it that way.
Wow.
And from that point on, what happened is her business became. She was a very, if you look at her building and everything that she did, it was incredible, impeccable, you know, clean. It was orderly. It was, you could see the record system she had. My point being is that this was an incredible person. But once, after the wedding, then what happened is that he began to sabotage everything. And she never recovered. Then the IRS got involved, and she never recovered from that at all. Here's a college that employed, in 1926, 175 people with franchise outlets in North America, South America, Africa, the Philippines. A wealthy, wealthy woman. And then at the end of her life, she pretty much dies destitute. And all that's left right now is the orphanage, the Annie Malone orphanage. That was a facility on Good Avenue. I don't know if you remember the song Johnny Be Good by Chuck Berry.
Yes,
he grew up on Good Avenue, right around the corner. And that's where the spelling Johnny Be Good, G-O-O-D-E, in the song, it comes from that Good Avenue.
All the time, I thought it was just Johnny Be Good, G-O-O-D. So
yeah, G-O-O-D-E. If you look it up on the internet, you'll see that's how it's spelled.
Wow.
And he later became a beautician under the Poro system. He graduated in 1952 because he thought the music thing wasn't going to work. And so he became a beautician. And, of course, his songs just took off. And, he never went back to it. But
Right. Amazing. Okay, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hine. Now we have with us on the line one of our amazing Hair Radio Morning Show contributors, the incredible Shanta Love. Good morning, Shanta. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you.
Yes, it's great to have you. Now, I know you wanted to pass along some well wishes to our latest arrival to the broadcast, the brand new co-host. And I say co-star, the one and only Miss Nicole Marie. What would you like to tell her this morning?
I wanted to just say congratulations to Nicole Marie, and it's so pleasant to hear your beautiful voice in the morning and to feel your warm energy. And I look forward to hearing you on hairradio.com.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Such an awesome feature that's been added. Thank you.
Yes. And is it not great? It's nice to have, because you have been a while for like the sole early morning voice that kind of dropped by. Yes, we have the Angels, and they are often on the show as well. But it's nice to have a new female perspective, adding
And you guys are, you know, we're going to have the guys versus the gals very soon on the show. We'll play some great games and all of that and great fun. But it's nice, Shanta, I think. And your commercial just runs all the time here, reminding us
I
have this product. Yes, my favorite.
Well, definitely, I've been listening, and Nicole Marie is definitely a new, pleasant dynamic.
Yes.
And I wish you all the best. And it's exciting listening to your conversations in the morning.
Awesome. Well, we love it. And thank you so much. We'll see you soon right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. And you've got to bump up to our wonderful now, our program contributor. So congratulations to you as well right here on the Hair Radio Show. All right. Organic Love Collection, folks. Shanta Love. Thank you.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to...
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio. I wanted to go ahead and get that out. Good morning, everybody. It's mid-show, Thursday, May 12th of 2022. It's about 7:37 East Coast time here, in, of course, in Brooklyn, New York, where we broadcast from the headquarters throughout the world, literally. And I mean everybody, everywhere. I want to bring to the line a gentleman, and we're going to talk a little bit about this show. It's, you know, Thursday is always a great time for us to kind of look and see what's in our pockets, and we're going to explain that in just a moment. It's our show number 712, show number 712. We've done 12 shows past our 700th benchmark, so we'll talk about that too. Like I said, we've got a lot to unpack today on this wonderful, wonderful morning here in New York City. And, of course, joining me about this time for coffee, tea, and conversations, of course, Otto. Otto, good morning, sir. Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Carrie. Oh, I'm good.
All right.
It's just shocking. Yeah, 12 shows already since our 700th show. Wow, the days are flying by.
Yes, they are. And I have to say, with great joy, as you guys just heard from Shanta Love talking about our latest addition to the Hair Radio Morning Show, I have to bring to the line without further ado, but I'll let you do the honors, Otto. So take it away, Otto.
Thank you, Carrie. It's my pleasure to bring to the line now a great addition to the Hair Radio Morning Show family. You know her from Vet Talk Radio with Michael Hopkins, one of Michael's angels, heard right here every Tuesday, 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central Time. We're so lucky to have her bring her pleasant voice and helpful views all the way from Water Valley, Mississippi, Nicole Marie.
Oh, is that
morning,
not a nice welcome? Wow.
Carrie and Otto, how are you all this morning?
Wow. Great, Nicole. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Well,
and
it's a pleasure to have everybody. Yes.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Carrie, I know I'm doing great. It is a beautiful morning. It's 69 degrees here already in Water Valley, Mississippi. So it's going to be another
good
hot
old
day.
WVMI.
Yes.
All right.
It's 91 today. Yes.
Wow. Okay. Now we're jealous, okay? Here in Brooklyn, New York, we're just barely climbing to 69. And we think that's like a day at the beach. And you're talking about some 91 or what have you.
91
we're jealous
today.
Now.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
My gosh.
Wow.
Yes.
And
I'd like to say good morning
and,
to all of our listeners out there. Welcome
absolutely
to our midday show. And I know we have a lot of exciting information to talk about with our coffee, tea, and conversation. But, Carrie, can I give a quick shout-out?
Sure. Who?
I would like to give a shout out to Miss Shanta Love, and thank you so much for my welcome.
Yes.
For greeting me with open arms and so much love and support. So good morning to you, and thank you so much.
Yeah, I have to tell you why. I think Shanta really wanted to share this because I remember she was on the show. Shanta drops in. I'll never know when she's dropping in. And she drops by usually in the last half hour or so, you know, once or twice a week. And she dropped in one day. And you know how we're doing live radio, folks. If you guys are just tuning in, we're live. This is not a tape, okay? We're live all over the world.
Live.
And so so the thing is, Shanta, and so we have a lot of things that we literally work around the clock to prepare for everybody. So most of us, you know, we write everything. Everything is organic here. So we're not like a cookie-cutter radio show. So I think that's why we have the amount of listeners that we have. And we're so that the show has gone on for over 25 years, literally. And this version, the morning edition, has been popular for over 700 episodes, which is quite extraordinary for anything. And so we do a lot of prep work. Shanta doesn't have that luxury. So she just pops on and just, you know, has a couple of minutes to give a few sound bites, and off she goes. But I remember her, one of her, I think her last appearance on the show was one that she said something, I think she might have kind of, you know, regretted a little bit that what she said, and so we're not going to go ahead and repeat it. When she comes back, we'll talk about it. But it was so funny because, you know, folks kind of got a little riled up. I spoke to folks after the show, and I really did. One of the individuals I spoke with was the unknown caller. Okay.
Yeah,
the unknown caller says, Carrie, I was about to go in on those comments. And I said, so if you can imagine, so it was so nice to see, I call it, you know, women power here demonstrated, you know, and that was the incredible, wonderful, splendiferous Nicole Marie, who you know, supported Shanta, because Shanta Love is a sweet lady. She really is. She's a very kind person. You guys hear her commercials. Her heart is always in the right place. And sometimes on live radio, you get a little nervous. I mean, it's natural. You know, it really is. Your first time on radio, who's not going to be nervous? I was nervous. Even on this show, 700 episodes ago, it really has been over. It's literally been over 700 episodes. But my first day on the air, and like I tell everybody, was a calamity. And I was super nervous. And when I first ever was on the radio in Los Angeles, out in California, out of Glendale, California, which is where the radio station where I was, a regular radio station, I used to go up there and do my show, you know, pull up in the radio station. It was beautiful, too. And Glendale, California, by the way, is where Michael Jackson is buried, just so that you guys have some reference. And so it's right outside of L.A., and the station reached all of Beverly Hills, all of Southern California, Hollywood, all of that. And so it's so it was nerve-wracking. And I tease Otto about this all the time. I say, you know, when I went to do radio, I didn't have enough to say. I had a 30-minute slot live on the put my hand up to God. I wish I were exaggerating. And so I had 30 minutes, and after about 5 minutes, I said everything I had to say.
Oh, my goodness.
I kid you. Let me tell you, that has to be, and I've been through a lot of moments in my life over my 35 years on the earth. But I'll tell you, I've been through quite a bit, and the scariest moments I've ever experienced was trying to stretch another 25 minutes when you have absolutely nothing to say. It was literally like somebody was poking needles in my eye. I'm not even kidding. I was terrified. I had nothing else to say. It was my first time on radio, so I didn't know how long things take and how long to talk, and I had no idea, none.
Yeah.
And to this day, it was a scary blur. that I must have sweated a storm up. So now you guys understand why when I come to the radio show, I'm well prepared.
Well prepared.
Well, Curry, that helped me immensely because, yes, it is. But yesterday, how about this? You went from that moment to yesterday. We were heard on in three different time zones in one day. That was amazing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You know,
that's right.
From coming,
wonderful interview, yes.
Yeah. Nicole did a wonderful job. Wonderful.
Yes,
thank you,
Nicole Marie was
so
outstanding. What we're talking about yesterday's show, Nicole Marie was on with me, and we interviewed Bobsa, the Black-Owned Beauty Supply Association owner or organizer or man behind it. We're talking about Sam Anon, who is out in Northern California, out in the San Francisco Bay Area, and he was on with us from 8 to 9 New York time. So we literally were on the air live in three different time zones because we broadcast everywhere so everybody in the whole world can hear us.
Yeah.
But yesterday's interview was very special because of that. So it made history right here on our broadcast where we were literally on the air speaking in three different time zones with three different individuals. And then beyond that, to have Sam on to talk all about looking for some new folks to help with getting his products out, distributors and all of that.
The distributors.
So, but you knocked it out of the box.
You sure did.
I really learned so much.
The question you asked was on point. It was on point. You learned, the fans learned a lot about how to be a distributor and a different setting up a store. That was great. It really was.
I think that was Nicole's question about setting up a store. Sam, what happened to this thing now? Yes. Well, you know what shocked me, Nicole Marie? I did not know Sam was from Mississippi. Honestly,
I had it first, didn't you?
I really did. You know, I've talked to Sam. Sam and I've been working with Sam as an industry colleague for I don't know how long—a long, long, long time. Been on a show, big part of our broadcast. What shocked me was that he actually, and I thought he was saying Pittsburgh. I didn't know what he was talking about. But when it sunk in, I was like, oh, you really are from Mississippi. So a lot of people are from Mississippi. Yeah. Yeah, I was very surprised. Yeah, one of my good friends is also a dear friend of mine who flies for Delta. His family is down there. He's from Mississippi. So real good stuff. Well, listen, in addition to Mississippi, we got a shout out to everybody this morning. I want to take a moment, like you said, Nicole Marie, and welcome all of our listeners everywhere. We need to do that. We've got fans all over the place. And coming up today about 8:30 Eastern time, 7:30 Central, we're welcoming back to the show for the first time in a very, very long time, all the way from West Africa, from Ghana, West Africa. So we're talking about Ebenezer Kobina. Ebenezer Kobina, that's his name. You guys can Facebook him or whatever they call it, friend him on Facebook, social media, he's there. Ebenezer is all the way in Ghana, West Africa, and so which is to the west of Nigeria. And a lot of folks know Ghana because this is where the slaves quite a bit. The people were stolen. Our ancestors were ripped out from the land there in Ghana and turned into slaves. They weren't slaves in Africa. Let's just make that clear. Okay. So that's why a lot of folks go to Ghana so they can be a part of history. Lionel had gone out there and explained, and he told all of us about it. It's just horrific conditions. But we're that the slaves, the people who were taken out of Africa had to deal with. And so he told us all about that. But these are some good things to talk about. We are happy to have Ebenezer to talk about the hair industry there, what's going on. So I can't wait. We've been trying to get this on, so I think you guys have to bear with us a little bit when you hear the audio, but I think it'll be well worth it, you know, so listen closely to that. That'll be up at 8:30 this morning, so real happy about that. And let's get on some folks this morning. Yes, you know, and we'll talk a little bit about what we kind of had on the air this morning. Well, first, I have to say, I think we were talking about some financial stuff. Did you guys happen to catch any of that this morning, Nicole Marie?
Yes, yes. Great information. Yeah. I love the financial education information. Yes, I was listening.
Yeah. Oh, awesome.
And that is definitely the key.
Yeah.
Definitely the key for our community, financial literacy, getting it out there.
Yes, I think. Yeah, that was Reggie and Michael Gilbreth.
Gilbreth.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. He's from Mississippi, and Reggie Whiteley is from, out in California, I think, Southern California, I believe. But, yeah, they were on the show talking about, taking care of the financial aspect. And so my question today for you guys and for our panelists that will be joining us in just a moment, when it comes to financial literacy, what age do you start, or do you start it, or do you ever share the importance of money with your children? Did you guys do that? And so I really want to know the answer to that, but hold that thought. Let's bring to the line some guests today, some special folks joining us today. Michael Hopkins, who has been with us for a very, very long time. And I had no idea how much we would miss Michael on yesterday's broadcast. But we did. We really did we not? Because he's become such a staple. You guys know him. He's the host of Vet Talk Radio. And he is, yes, he's our own angel's boss over there. Michael Hopkins, welcome again. Good morning. Just so excited to have you. Welcome back. You're all in one piece, and we are just thrilled. Good morning. Happy Thursday.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, Karen.
Michael Hopkins.
Otto, and the one and only, and I'm still getting used to this name, Nicole Marie. I'm still getting
good morning,
used to
Brother
that
Michael.
Name.
Michael
good,
Hopkins.
Morning,
good morning,
everybody. Yeah, I definitely missed
you
guys.
You.
Oh, yeah, I missed you guys yesterday, but unfortunately and regrettably, duty called yesterday.
Right.
Had to take care of some things with the Office of Veteran Affairs, the Veteran Affairs Hospital. I'm okay. I'm feeling just great. I'm in great spirits. Had all kinds of good news from missed you guys.
Yes, awesome. Well, we're happy to have you back. I was just going to say it's a great reminder. Remember our theme this week, in addition to welcoming the incredible Nicole Marie to the lineup, also health and wellness, and to just remember to check in. And I'm raising my hand. I'll be doing it as well at some point this week. So just a quick reminder on that. Michael, you've been listening. What do you think about that? And this is a great topic for everybody. Did we do our work? Have we failed as a community by not taking the time to pass along good financial information to our children? Or did we take the time and say, hold it, your credit is important. You know, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. Save. Did we do our job effectively? So I'm going to lead in with you, Michael Hopkins, and then we'll go back to our wonderful co-host here, but what do you say to that? And especially being a veteran.
A lot of times, Carrie, a lot of us have failed in that area of leaving some type of legacy for our children, and a lot of times things are repeated again.
Wow.
That's what I see a lot of times, even, you know, with my own adult children. There are some things that I should have emphasized more, and I didn't. And sometimes they're going through financial issues that maybe if I had said something 10 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, they would be in a better position. The good thing is, as they get older, they have gotten wiser. with money matters, and they know the importance of this is what you must do. You have a family. There are certain things you need to put in place for your family. It's just we all go through, I guess we call it an epiphany.
Yeah.
When we're
which
in our teens and 20s.
Correct.
Yeah, you know, we're in our teens and 20s. I know, especially like when you're in the military, most of the young people coming in are in their 18, 19, 20-year-olds, some of them a little bit older. And this is the first time a lot of them have had a real job, real career, you could say. And it's so easy when you're in the military. A lot of times it's so easy to get access to buying a car, to get an apartment, doing all of these things. Because, see, one thing that people know, if you don't know anything else about being in the military, there's one thing that civilians in those positions know that issue things. You're going to get paid. It's not like you're working on a regular civilian job where you hope you're going to get paid. You might get laid off or fired and so forth. It's kind of hard to fire somebody from the military.
Wow.
You know, you come in one day, oh, you're late, so, we're going to give you your walking papers. Nah, it usually don't work that way because we sign a contract, at least a minimum of 3 to 4 years with the government, and the government's trying to get their amount of money out of you. Trust me.
Man.
Trust me, everybody here.
Yeah, go right ahead, Michael. Finish your thought.
You know, trust me. They do. They'll get everything out of you until it's time for you to either re-sign up or go home.
Man, well, I have to say this is a big one for me because financial stuff is important. So I wanna ask Nicole Marie. I wanna ask our wonderful Otto. Otto, let's go in with you, and then we'll see what Nicole Marie has to add to that. But what do you say? Did you because you have a family as well? So
yeah.
What are your thoughts when you hear this? Were you passing along? Or did you say that, no, it wasn't that, that you didn't get a chance to do? What thoughts do you have on this?
Oh, thank you, Kerry. Oh, I got a great amount of material out of the gentleman from the world of finance, Michael and Reggie. What I like, sad is nine out of 10 families don't have a financial plan or a planner, to help them, guide them.
Wow.
Because, 9 out of 10, that's a pretty bad statistic. And Nicole, I mentioned earlier, financial illiteracy. We don't have literacy. They don't teach us that.
Exactly.
And he had mentioned there's only 3 states that teach this in elementary school. Anything to do with, 3 states out of all this beautiful country. But I really liked, and I'm going to do it myself, even at my age, I'm going to go back to this, start to pay yourself first. Put something away. And then you have the 90%, goes to the bills and responsibility. But in regards to my children, what I did is I had a piggy bank. I got them each a piggy bank. And the sound of that change going in, or when they see a dollar.
Yes.
They were
I
like,
love
whoa.
That.
And the small jobs around the house. On a Friday, I would pay them after work. And it gives them the value. I had a paper route. I pumped gas, so I learned the value. I got away from that, in my teens and all, but I'm bringing it back full circle, and I had such a great time this morning listening. Thanks. Thank you,
guys. Yeah, me too. Yeah, thank you, guys. Also, I want to bring to the line, now this is a lady who is one of the angels, so Michael Hopkins and our Nicole Marie knows her well. She's out of one of my favorite places, I say, not Paris, France, but Paris, Texas. A very, very wise and wonderful lady who is an advocate for children. So I've got to turn to you, Miss Katrina, out of Paris, Texas, out there. So now hold it. You are an advocate for children. You always think about kids, and very passionately so, and we appreciate that. But what about you? The question today about, did we take the time to teach our children about finances and credit and money and all that kind of stuff? What do you say when you hear this, this kind of talk, Katrina? And again, good morning.
Okay, good morning. I would like to say good morning.
Morning, Katrina.
Good morning, Katrina.
Good morning.
First off, I feel that we didn't Because the simple fact is, as I was coming up, I wasn't taught. I wasn't learned to save. I wasn't learned about credit. Because if I was, I know my credit would be a whole lot better than what it is now. If it was like
I'm
actually taught to me.
Yeah.
So once I was able to learn, I start teaching it to my children. Like, especially my daughter, which, because she's always the one up under me more and stay stuck with me more and listening to when my son, he's like constantly on the go, on the go, on the go. But she's learning now. She has her own saving account. She got a job. And she's looking now, trying to see what her credit is. Well, when she don't have no credit, she don't have no credit score.
Exactly.
So now we have to fix it and work it and try and build her some credit.
Exactly. And Katrina, I appreciate that perspective, and that's really honest and sincere. And I'm in the same boat with most of, especially the Black community. But you don't have to be Black. It could be anybody. Whenever we just don't realize how important it is to make sure that we take a moment. And I didn't learn myself. I'm Carrie Hines raising my little hand, and I should raise both. But I was able to rectify that as I got a little older. I think I heard someone say it earlier as they got, I think Michael, as he got older, you're able to kind of, you know, improve and make them more aware. And so I learned all about securities and stocks and things like that and became an instructor in that capacity. And I have to say, I wished I had started a little bit earlier, but I'm grateful for that financial education. But this is something that should start with children. So my question again is how young should you be? Well, how young do you think you have to be to pass along this kind of information? So, Nicole Marie, what would you say? How young do you think the children should be, or should they be children at all, or wait till you're an adult? What do you say?
No, I believe that it definitely does start with children. Of course, we don't have this education in the school. However, at home, we need to start teaching our children. My children are still at home, and I definitely have those conversations with them. And, you know, we talk about money. We're talking about having a bank account. We talk about credit for my older children. We talk about credit and how you build credit and not getting in trouble with the credit cards and all of that. When I was growing up, went to college, you know, on a college campus, here they are. They're handing out credit cards. And it was easy, you know. You get this credit card and, you know, you start charging and then, okay, all of a sudden, here comes the bill, and there it goes. You get started with that. So I have definitely lived and learned along the way. I've learned, educated myself, learned a lot of information, and now I'm in a better position. And definitely, like I said, teaching my children, because I definitely want them to start out on the right foot, to learn and know as much about financial literacy so they can start out on the right foot. Don't start out in debt. Start out with a savings, investing, and just so they have a great plan for their own wealth. And then my husband and myself, we're focused on generational wealth, not just focused on right here, right now, but leaving a legacy for our children leaving a legacy for their children, and just keeping it going. But education is the key. Discussing with your children, with other family. That is the key.
And I love what you just said, Nicole Marie. And folks who just, if you missed the early part, the first hour of today's broadcast, I think we really delved, or I don't know if that's the correct tense of the verb, if you will, but we really did take a close look at talking about financial income. And that's what I love about the Hair Radio Morning Show. You don't quite know what we're going to talk about. You don't know what we're going to say. There is quite a spark of interest out there and folks wanting to hear from this community and about the different topics and things that, you know, to me, it's what I can feel it in my spirit, what we're not covering out here in the world because of the things, the discourse that they put on television or the, you know, the things that they're covering which don't really relate whatsoever. Either they're too watered down for middle America, no harm intended for you guys out in Central, but they're either watered down or they're not specific enough to make a difference in the communities that are outside of the, you know, that are outside of the I don't know how we can say it nicely, but that are not in the black community, so to speak. So anyway, all that to say, that's why we're here. We're here to cover some of these things, and financial literacy is incredibly important. So play back today's show when you get a chance. You really will love it, and I think you're going to enjoy it. Listen, I want to kind of turn a moment to another topic, and let's kind of shift the gears a little bit. So, yes, let's talk about something else. I want to kind of move over to – now, I don't know if you guys are sitting down for this, but we've never talked about this on the air, and I don't know if it's a good idea to do so today. But I wanted to talk about wedding songs. And specifically, you know, I got this idea by going over to upscalemagazine.com. Let me just say that again, www.upscalemagazine.com. Upscale Magazine has, that's their website. And their website for the magazine, they actually have featured on the website 14 wedding songs that black people enjoy, okay? So that's what it says there. But I think everybody is can remember. You know, all I remember, and you guys can tell me, do they still do the electric slide at those weddings?
Yes, Gary, yes.
No,
yes, they do.
You're kidding.
You have to have the electric slide.
Yes, got to have it.
You know,
gets everybody going.
I never could go to – I'm always going the opposite direction on that. I've got two left feet. I'm horrible. When I do the electric slide, I really fall down. I'm so out of step and out of tune. I have to tell you the truth. I didn't know they still do it, though. I really didn't. So that is the big thing there. Do you guys remember your wedding song? Some of you may not want to remember it. That's another story.
I remember. Anita Baker. Yeah,
no.
Giving you the best that I got.
That should have been – I wish I had that for our list this morning. So we're going to start our countdown. Upscale did their favorite. Let me tell you who Upscale chose as their 14 wedding songs, and then I'm going to tell you – on our list today, we have covered our own. You know, so I think this is kind of nice, and it's a little fun thing. Otto, what about you? Did you have, you know, I know, like I said, some of us may choose to forget some of these things, but you can understand how romantic it is for people to have a great wedding song.
Right.
I've not been married, so I'm going to choose one of these songs today for my wedding song, okay? So here it is. Ain't No Mountain High Enough, Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell. Remember, I told you guys my mom was one of Tammy Terrell's nurses in Philadelphia. So that is a very special song for me. Ain't No Mountain High Enough. Now, I don't know how about this. From the Jackson 5, I Want You Back. You guys know that song. How is that a wedding song? But okay. Beyonce and Jay-Z, and of course Beyonce's dad was on our show too. Crazy in Love is a song by Beyonce and Jay-Z. We love that song. Formation, that's one of Beyonce's not all that long ago songs, big hit. And of course, we just love her so much. Happy by Pharrell Williams. That original song by Pharrell was kind of in part inspired by one of our guests, David Pick Conley, you guys know from his big song, Happy. And then Black Street featuring Dr. Dre with No Diggity, which I don't know how that
really
could be a wedding song, but it is. It made Upscale Magazine's list here on upscalemagazine.com. Can't Stop the Feeling by Justin Timberlake. I don't know about that. I'll pass on that one.
Oh, sorry about that. Okay, we love Justin. We love the Can't Stop Loving You. Let me be nice. Okay, Bruno Mars, 24K Magic. The only thing, okay, my thing with this is that Bruno's music, to me, kind of rehashes a lot of the Prince music, a lot of that same, you know, funk, you know, black music
right.
type thing that you've heard already. It's never, to me, it's not original enough for me and my taste. But, you know, he's a musician, and I think he's trying to hang in there. But I'd like to see some, a little bit more originality. Now, of course, This Is How We Do It. You guys know who sings that song, the incredible Montel Jordan. Montel Jordan
right.
was my guest right on this show. He's done, he did a big interview with us. I'm going to try to get play it back for you guys one day when we have a little bit more time, maybe on a Friday, maybe in a week or so, we'll get on the show with Montel Jordan way back over 20 years ago when This Is How We Do It was a big hit. And they're still playing This Is How We Do It. I never heard this song called Party featuring Chris Brown and also Usher and Gucci Mane. Don't know that song Party. I'm going to have to try to catch it. They say it's a real club-worthy track, and it's perfect for a wedding reception. I don't know. Okay. All the Way Up. I'm sure you guys remember Fat Joe and Remy Ma featuring French
right.
Montana. Yes, All the Way Up. I love Remy Ma. She's so beautiful and just down to earth. I think she's from Newark, if I'm not mistaken. I believe she's a Jersey girl. We love her so much. Okay, Work by Rihanna featuring Drake. And that song, Work, I don't know if you guys have heard this, but Rihanna, I never could understand what she's quite saying in the song, but I think it's great. It's called Work by Rihanna featuring Drake. And Spend My Life With You, Eric Benet and Tamia. To me, it's a, you know,
that's a good one.
Yeah, you know that song? I've never heard of that, but
I
know
do.
Who they are. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. It's smooth kind of singers, you know. Eric Benet, wasn't he married to Halle Berry at one point?
He was.
Yeah, Tamia,
was,
she's
yeah.
been out there for years. I always get Tamia
yeah.
and Deborah Cox mixed up with their music.
Right.
I always have. They're kind of in the same vein. And
right.
to me, and Nicole Marie, when you go on YouTube, you'll hear they actually have a song together on YouTube. So I always say, oh my gosh,
okay.
my head explodes because they're to me like so similar. And then, of course, on the upscalemagazine.com, top song, of course, is who's going to miss? You know, I think everybody knows Etta James, the great jazz bluesy singer who died not all that long ago. She lived a long, long time. Etta James with At Last.
At Last. That's
yeah.
always a favorite.
You guys know that song?
Yes.
Wow. And Katrina, what about you? Do you know any of those songs, Katrina, from Paris, Texas?
Oh, yeah. I know quite a few of them.
Okay, all right. I thought you were awfully quiet there. yeah, yeah. But do you agree with At Last being at the top?
At Last? Oh, that's a classic.
Exactly. It is a classic. Hey, guys, I don't know if you remember this, and I better be nice because we love Beyonce on the show and stuff. But do you guys remember right before Etta James died and she had gone out, she was so mad, I think Beyonce played her in a movie or something and it was a big
Cadillac record.
Car flunkle. Yeah, do you guys remember that?
Cadillac record.
What was it called?
Cadillac Records.
Oh, that was it? Okay. Yeah, but do you remember what Etta was mad? Etta James was mad. I won't go into it, but she really was not real pleased. And she was one of those ladies who spoke her mind. So I don't know if you know these, you know, people like Etta and Aretha and all of them, and Dionne Warwick, who's been here in Melbourne, all those folks, they do not mince words, okay? They say what exactly how they
They really don't. I guess when you get to a certain point in your life, do you guys know that, do you start to speak more freely as you get a little older? I would love to know.
Oh,
that.
Most definitely.
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
So you didn't, the things you didn't say earlier on, you kind of go in with now.
Yeah, I'll be more direct and more upfront instead of sugarcoating and hide it.
Yeah. I don't want to get on your wrong side, Katrina. All right. Okay.
It's the simple fact is, reason why, once I look back at it, because a person once told me why sugarcoat and why hide it, because once a person think like, oh, that's okay, to them it's okay. But once they get before someone else and that person telling them true, then they go, well, this person told me, so it's better for them to fix the problem right then and there before they get before the next person who will end up putting them in the shame for when it's already done being fixed before they got to their person.
Now, Michael Hopkins, thank you, Katrina, I love that. Michael's been awfully quiet today. Hopkins, the host of Vet Talk Radio Show, Tuesdays at 8:30. What, Eastern Time, 7:30 Central, what do you say, Michael? What do you have to say about this subject? You've been listening.
Oh, yeah, I'm still recovering from the music stuff, but, I'm still recovering from that.
Well, we'd love to hear what song you guys were booking into at your wedding.
Mine is called You're In the Army Now, Carrie Hines. You're in the Army Now. I got married.
Believe that.
Yep, I got
believe
married
that.
Christmas Day, 1982. I was still in the United States Army. I drove all the way from Georgia. And it's the sad part about it, I had no idea I was getting married. How can you not know you're not getting married? You're getting married. That's kind of sad, isn't it? Especially you come home and, you know,
crazy.
The decorations is at the house. And my mother is buying me a suit, and I'm asking her who's getting married. She said, okay. She's looking at me like, yeah, okay. Yeah, you're going to be all right. It's all that Army stuff you've been doing. As far as the direct route, I've been finding that the older I get, especially getting it in the 60s, it just gets to a point I ain't doing that.
Right.
Wow.
It's just real simple. Nope, not doing that. But you gotta. No, I don't.
I love that, Michael. I love that. I also found recently that in my older years, I'd start saying no, you know, all my life. Yes. Everybody got happy and everybody got honored it. So now I'm finding, and then you find out who your true friends are when you say no. You know, no, I can't do that right now. You know, so I can really relate to Michael getting up in, getting our older years. You have the ability later on in life to say no, because I wasted a lot of years saying yes, you know. Mm-hmm. But
they just gonna have to call me Nancy Reagan. Just say no.
There you go. Okay. Thank you for that, Michael. And that was Nancy talking about the drugs and all that stuff back in the 80s. Well, listen, I have to say with that, you know what? It early on, you know, in your 20s, you seem to be trying to impress your friends more. And so, and that kind of can stay with you even into your 30s, where you are trying to be more of a people pleaser. You're definitely on the business track, but you're more of a people pleaser still. It's still in you. And I'll let you guys know when I hit my 40s quite what that's like. But I'm imagining it to be where you become. Was that a laugh over there, Otto?
Oh, no. No, Carrie.
Yeah.
None
of our party together.
Never,
our 40.
We would never be laughing right now. None of us.
I'm imagining. I'm using my imagination to think that your 40s is, you know, it's a reflective time. You start to kind of surprise yourself because, you know, the first time you let it out a little bit about the truth or say what you really feel, and it becomes liberating, and you become freer, and you're not weighed down by what others are saying or doing. And that's what I kind of love about all of this. So, folks, let me just kind of go back a little bit. We haven't done a recap in quite a bit, but I just want to remind everybody, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. I have the incredible, magnificent Nicole Marie on the show. And so she's with us this morning and weekdays right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We have Otto always here to help help out with the show. And our incredible panel this morning that includes Katrina from Paris, Texas, and the boss man over at Vet Talk Radio Show, the host himself, of course, Michael Hopkins. So just had to do a little bit of a roll call here, roster check, this morning on this Thursday, May 12th of 2022. It's our show number 712. And don't forget, but what's coming up at 8:30 this morning, we have Hair Radio Ghana. We actually have with us the incredible Ebenezer Kobina. Okay. And folks, if you have some background stuff and you got phones and radios going, please turn them down or off or whatever. We don't like the background feedback. Not good for the fans. So lots of good things going on. I wanted to get on this. Yeah, and I don't know if you guys can hear it, but yeah, just please turn, make sure everything is quiet in the background, please. I'm going to go ahead and turn to our own countdown list of wedding song favorites. And we talked a little bit about Aretha. Why don't I get on this? It's just one of my oldest Throwback Thursday. It's starting at number 5 on our own countdown list of wedding songs that we will continue throughout the next couple days. But here at number 5 on the Hair Radio Morning Show, favorite wedding songs. I'm hoping you guys like this. Take a listen. It was one of her classic hits, which I just love. And when we come back, it will be about time for Ebenezer to join us. So stay with us. We've got another, we've got a little bit more coming up in the next half hour on some live talk right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Stay with us.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
You're listening to me on The Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have a very special guest joining us all the way from Wisconsin. He's been with us before. It is my honor and pleasure to welcome back to the very first time in a while.
I don't know if you guys can hear this. I don't know if you guys can hear Ebenezer, Cobina. I think what we'll do is try to get that audio back on track. Let me just get back in here live with Otto and Nicole Marie. Otto, Nicole Marie, thank you so much. We've got to shout out our Ghanaian friends over there in Africa and Hair Radio Ghana.
Yes.
Let me just give you guys a gist of what we had with the gentleman Ebenezer was saying to everybody. He was just reminding everybody over here in America to support the financial community, the community over there in Africa, in West Africa. There is quite a bit of land, and everything is so much, much more reasonable than here in America. And he was also telling us a little bit about the hair industry. It's very different than what you perceive America. Now, Ebenezer himself has about four shops. Barbershop that he owns over there and actually he is in a location that I don't know if you guys have heard. Everybody knows about Accra, which is in Ghana, but most folks don't know about right outside of Accra, maybe a couple hours away, there is a little town called Takrady, and Takrady is where this shop is. One of his shops is. So we'll get Ebenezer on. It's always a bad connection, and that was a horrible connection, trying to get that going here this morning. So, just wanted to say we are just so thrilled for our international audience. We really are. I have to shout out, in addition to all the folks in Ghana, I've got to shout out to the folks over in Nigeria. And Nigeria, who support us and who have been on the show. The Nigerians have been right here on our broadcast. So we are just so thrilled. And, of course, you guys have heard from all the way down in Australia. I'm going to see if we can get on her quick piece here this morning. She is the creator of Headbed and Catherine Rondebel.
And I just love Catherine. She's just a phenomenal lady. Let me see if I can get this piece on. And we'll be back on the other side of this. Nicole Marie, you having a good time this morning?
I am. I'm having a great time, Terry.
All right. So we'll be back at the end. Otto, we're going to hold it down. Let's go ahead and get this on. This is Catherine Rondebel. She created the headbed. We'll be back. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. Now, my very next guest comes to us from Australia. Her name is Catherine Rondebel. We're going to have her tell you the rest. Good morning, Catherine. Welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Good morning, Kerry. And I hope everything is very well with yourself.
It is going great. Well, first of all, it's morning here in New York as we talk live on the air, but where you are, it's actually nighttime. Mm-hmm. So there's quite a bit of difference. So tell us the time difference so we can kind of get the understanding. Is it like the same day as America in the Northeast, or the next day or the next night? How does that work all the way in Australia?
Well, it is 12 hours after you, so it's 9:30 p.m. here.
Okay, got it. 12 hours after us. Wow. Okay, wow, very interesting. Okay, well, with that in mind, we're going to move on. We got so much to talk about. First of all, Catherine, technically I should welcome you back to the Hair Radio Morning Show. You have been with us many times in the past, and one of the major reasons, I should say, is because of what you have done and who you are. As the creator of Headbed, you've done just an enormous contribution to the hair and beauty industry. So first of all, let's have you tell everybody officially what Headbed is.
Well, thank you, Gary. My clients who used to come to see me with neck pain, shoulder pain, headaches after having been to a hair salon, it got me thinking about the position of a person's head and neck when they are at the shampoo basin. And research from the medical literature shows, and I was not surprised to find, that there's medical evidence of neck injury and even, in the worst case scenario, strokes.
Mm.
So I designed a headbed to have a support placed under the head of the person, and therefore it takes all the weight off the head, and the neck therefore can relax. There's a lot less pressure on the neck and its delicate blood vessels and nerves when the head is properly supported at the basin. The neck can take up to 40 pounds of pressure on the vertebrae if the head is reclined backwards and not supported at the shampoo basin. So this is what really motivated me nearly 7 years ago now to design and research and make a headbed.
Well, I'm just blown away because, first of all, for our listeners out there, the folks who are in and around the hair and beauty industry, this may be the very first time they're really ever hearing of a syndrome such as this. Can you talk to us a little bit about this and how it's, this has kind of come to light? I mean, you really have been sharing this for quite a bit of time. So kind of bring everybody up to speed on what this beauty parlor syndrome, stroke syndrome, is all about.
Yes, well, it was actually published by a New York doctor, a neurologist, who started looking at a pattern of injury and strokes that happened particularly to women, middle-aged women in particular, as they'd come back from hair salons. So whether the same day or a few days later, they developed symptoms of slurred speech or pain down the arm or headaches, and then eventually ended up with strokes. And these would be ladies in their 40s and 50s. So he published an article in a very prestigious medical journal to say, look, there is a very definite problem there. So beauty parlor stroke syndrome, as it's called, or salon sink radiculopathy, which is a very fancy name to say that pain travels down the nerve branches of the neck from too much pressure on the neck. And that all happens because a human head weighs anything between 4 to 5 kilos, which is about 8 to 10 pounds.
line.
I'm so glad you did,
you know,
the
flying backwards.
That you gave us what did you call it? The exchange.
Yes. I think in the US you're more into pounds, isn't it?
Right, exactly. I'm like, please say pounds. Wow. Well, I tell you, this is just something that literally unnerves folks, because when they go to, especially our fans out there, they go to the hair salons, they're not expecting this. Should this be part of the consultation, in your opinion, of the professionals to share with their clients, their prospective clients, when they come in the door?
Oh, absolutely. Finding out if a person already has some pain or some injury or some musculoskeletal problems is very important when they are about to sit at the basin and place their head backwards. And you have two types of basins. In America, I've noticed that there is a fixed to the plumbing and the cabinetry type of basin, and there is the other one, which is called a backwash, which the basin tilts down to a person's shoulders. But in both cases, if the person's head is not supported, then all the pressure goes onto the neck vertebrae. So it's very important. And hairdressers are very caring people. They always try and make their client comfortable. And I know some hairdressers have injured their wrist because they're trying to support, to hold the weight of the head of the client whilst they're doing the shampoo with one hand. So definitely ask about it. Ask the clients, have they already got any pre-existing issues with their neck? But often it's not known, because it all happens on the inside, on the little blood vessels that travel through the neck vertebrae. And who, you wouldn't know as a hairdresser if somebody has a potential for strokes, or, you know, has high blood pressure, or could have some plaque build up in their blood vessels. So
and
it's very
is,
tricky. So the easy.
Yes.
Yep.
No, I was just going to say that exactly.
Mm-hmm.
They would take the proper precaution, and usually that's see a doctor, you know, after that point. But I'll tell
that's
you,
right.
Catherine, this is just amazing. Now, it's quite, you know, a lot going on these days, and I do want to turn to that. But I do want to talk a little bit more about this amazing device. We're talking about HeadBet today, and my very special guest on the Hair Radio Morning Show, all the way from Australia, is Miss Catherine Rondebell, who we just appreciate and adore here on our show. She's been a friend and family member here to the Hair Radio Show, folks, for many years. Catherine, so I want to definitely talk about this. Now, you mentioned the basin, and we call them sinks here as well for you guys out there listening. Right. So
the shampoo bowl.
The shampoo bowl. There you go. Exactly. And we're talking about, I want to paint a picture. So we're talking about that curvature where it kind of allows for the neck to fit in that little groove on those sinks that
groove.
You see at the salons.
Correct.
And barbershops.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much. And so you have the device that kind of literally is so easy. And I do mean it's easy to just pretty much lay right on there. But it has
exactly.
a huge, right? It has a very, so this is not something that is difficult to affix to the sink. Can you just describe that process again?
Sure. You can retrofit the headbed to 99% of sinks. So we have a special model which is for the American style of shampoo bowl, the one that is fixed to the cabinetry or the plumbing in the wall. And then we have the one for the backwash, which is more of a ceramic bowl that tilts down to the client's shoulders. So you simply clip, it's a silicone, very soft, flexible cushion that molds itself into the curve of the neck area, but it has this little platform that goes out inside the basin and which sits just under the head, the occipital bone of the client's head as the head reclines backwards. So it's like putting your head on a little pillow. That's why we'll call it the head bed.
I love it.
Therefore, it would, that's right. So it can fit on any basin, and the European model has three adapter wedges which then allows the head platform to be raised or lowered depending on the angle of the client's neck and head. So it's really been thought about by
on many ways to cover all potential and possibilities of different styles of basins.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, we just love it. It's the head bed. So I am just blown away. What is the best website, or how can folks get this amazing head bed device?
Yes, well, we're very lucky to have a lovely agent, Lynn, in Florida.
Yes,
and our
awesome.
Website there is and our website is headbedusa.com. So www.headbedusa.com.
Awesome.
And also,
course,
Kerry, you probably
yes.
would have it on your...
You beat me to it, Catherine Rondebel. Yes, we're going to be so excited to offer this, as we have throughout the years, right here at Hair Radio. You can simply go to the Salon TV Network app into our store on the app. Now, you can download the app for free. It's in the Google Play Store worldwide, and purchase that wonderful headbed device there, or just contact Hair Radio at any time, and we'll be certainly able to put you in touch with Lynn and some of the folks at Headbed and all that wonderful good stuff. So really, really make it really nice. And it's not something, I do want to talk about this, just, you know, of course you have to contact them for pricing and all that, but the one thing I do want to say is that it is incredibly affordable for what you are, what this, the prevention, when you look at it, first of all, it's affordable, period. Let me just get that on out. And then I also want to say what it can prevent is priceless. So there is just, there's, I mean, I really don't know any other words to put that, Catherine. Any other way to say it?
We call it priceless because, you know,
exactly.
you're protecting your health, and
yes.
there is nothing more important in life than your health and your client's health. And it's a safety device. And for a professional tool of the trade, it comes down to about $19 per year, because we know the headbed will last you more than 5 years. Our
yes.
salons in Australia, the first one, bought the headbed 6.5 years ago, and they're still using it.
Oh,
so,
that is just amazing. Now, Catherine, actually, you
yeah.
lead me exactly where I wanted to go with you at this moment, and that is to talk about some of the things that are going on. But first, just to kind of paint the picture again, I want to welcome Catherine Rondebel to welcome back to the Hair Radio Morning Show. She is on the line with us all the way from Australia. Now, Catherine, what part of Australia are you in again?
Right, on the west coast of Australia. And we are known as the most isolated city in the world, Gary. Perth
Why?
Has got the ocean, Indian Ocean on one side, and it's got the Great Australian Desert on the other side, before you
oh.
reach the east coast of Australia.
Wow. Well, my goodness, and you've been here to America. I've seen you here in New in the New York area, in the New Jersey, New York area before, so I know you come to America. You travel everywhere, though. You really do, Catherine.
Well,
I remember you. Tell
well,
us about
I've had the
some
great
of your...
pleasure. Well, with the invention of the headbed being such a unique and new tool of your trade, I had the great opportunity to travel to the main hair expos around the world, the Paris one, the London
yes.
hair expo, to New York at the wonderful Javits Center.
Yes.
So
yes.
IBS was just magnificent, and meeting you there was really
yes.
was absolutely
yes.
wonderful.
Yes, we had
and
a great
having
time.
The, being able to present this new and unique safety device for the shampoo bowl to
yes.
all the hairdressers that are top of their trade, and see how fascinated they were and, you know, really wanting to get one for their salons and their clients. It was just wonderful. I'm so blessed to have had so many beautiful meetings, including yourself.
Thank you, and likewise, absolutely. Now, how does it play with all of this going on? We haven't broached the subject. It's always the elephant in the room, and that is this COVID situation currently that's happening around the world. How has, well, let me ask you, have the folks been affected in Australia, and how so?
Well, during sort of March, April, May, when it was really the start of sort of worldwide awareness, we went into lockdown here too, so many salons had to close, and that was very scary for a lot of small businesses and salon owners. But by June, we were able to reopen because the number of COVID cases was under control in Australia. So this is when the sale of our headbed just absolutely tripled and quadrupled, because people have realized that being made from a medical-grade silicone, it can be 100% hygienic and sanitized properly in between clients. So more than ever now, do not use substandard silicone neck cushions, because, and certainly not the firm, spongy little ones, that because they have minute fissures and cracks which can trap germs, and it's just not really, it's not possible to clean them properly. They collect skin debris and germs. So really, only trust the highest grade silicone rubber material.
Absolutely.
On any of your equipment and tools. And this is why our headbed was adopted even more so ever since the COVID situation started.
Excellent.
And, yeah.
Very important.
It's
and
troubling
very...
times, but humans are resilient. We're all resilient, and we'll manage to find a way through this.
Exactly. I still say this, Catherine.
Yeah.
I know you guys, you support the salon and barbers and all those folks, and I appreciate that. But I have always felt and thought that each individual, to me, I would suggest if you can get your own, get your own. Get your own. I think it would be wonderful. I really do. I've always encouraged that. I know it's a, you know, it goes on a sink and it's a professional product. But I'm thinking that if you have your own headbed, you can take it with
your
you
own.
To the salon.
Correct. Absolutely. Absolutely. This is what quite a few of our clients have done here, too. Because they traveled, they used to, not this year, but traveling around the world, they keep their headbed with them. And they,
exactly.
whichever salon they go to, they say, just clip that on the basin on
exactly.
on the salon sink, please.
Exactly.
And then they're comfortable and they know they're safe. And often the salon owners want to buy the headbed off them and keep it.
Quite often. The great news is that they can be directed right back to headbedusa.com.
Yep.
Which we love that, or Salon TV Network, of course. Well, I have to say, Catherine, first of all, it's great to speak with you and connect with you. Now, what about some of these big things happening all over the world? Do you guys see a lot of that on the news over there? Do you see, like, the Black Lives Matter and all these things? Do you see any of that reported? We don't know so much about what's happening outside of America much.
Look, Australians are absolutely fascinated by what happens in America, and the Black Lives Matter movement was very much echoed here, and we had our own issues here. The Australian Aboriginal people have also done marches and demonstrations and wanting to make sure that it was well known to the government and to all that, you know, every life matters, but particularly Black Lives Matter have had so much more challenges throughout history and even recently. No, in Australia, we can see that on the news every day. It's being reported. So we feel for your country and for all the issues going on, and you're not alone. We really feel with you and are in thoughts and prayers with you guys.
Thank you. And I have to say, you have always put it there. You've been a big supporter of Hair Radio and believed in us when a lot of these things, you know, we hadn't quite materialized them or brought them into being.
Correct.
You know, and you really believed and supported us, and I thank you for that. And we will continue this.
Yep. I mean, it's such a beautiful, important social interaction when somebody goes to their stylist, their hairdressers, and the self-esteem and the well-being that is felt when a person can get their hair cut and present beautifully, it's wonderful for their self-esteem. It's a beautiful industry that you guys are in, and you know, it's so important to support people who have such a skill with the correct tools. And that's where my background is from. I'm from a health background myself, so that's why so important to me.
Absolutely. Well, again, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. My very special guest comes back to us all the way from Australia. We're talking about Miss Catherine Rondebel. We're talking to Miss Catherine Rondebel, who is the creator, we call the inventor of Headbed,
yes.
And this amazing device that certainly can just do such big things to avoid clients in the, shampoo bowl getting strokes or having strokes and all of that. It certainly is just big. And you can find out a lot more about it. She has all the official information that you need to know at www.headbedusa.com. And also you can, of course, connect with us at Hair Radio, and we'll put you in touch with the amazing Catherine Rondebel and all that she's doing. Catherine, I just want any lasting thoughts or anything you want to kind of leave with the Hair Radio Morning Show folks today?
Well, first of all, congratulations on such a wonderful profession you're in.
Yes.
And my dream is really that for every shampoo basin, shampoo sink around the world to have a headbed cushion on it, because it's like every car has seat belts in it. It's a safety issue. You have to protect your clients and therefore look for a proper head and neck support cushion for your shampoo sink. Indeed.
Well,
thank you again, Carrie.
Absolutely. Oh, it's my
marvelous
pleasure.
To see you again.
You are just awesome. You are part of the family here, as I mentioned earlier, and you're always welcome again. Headbedusa.com is the website. The device is Headbed, and every salon and barber shop should have this device on their sink or wash basin bowl. Make sure and do that. It's critical. It's critical for the success of what you're doing and your clients and all of that. And certainly, this is something that we encourage. Again, Catherine, I want to...
Okay. It doesn't get any better than Catherine Rondebel. Otto, Nicole Marie, I just want to say thank you. It was a great show. I want to thank everybody for joining us.
Absolutely.
And, did you guys have a good time? Okay. Well, I've got a quick surprise on... Shanta Love has dropped by to say goodbye to everybody, or hello and goodbye. Shanta, what do you want to say to everybody? You're live on the air.
Good morning, and how fabulous.
Morning,
Shanta.
Shanta Love.
I love
Shanta
this show.
Love.
And we're
international
now. Y'all are doing great things. International. Can you imagine?
Oh, thank you, Shanta.
Okay.
It's nice to hear your voice. And we played
yes,
you earlier
good to
today.
Have you on.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. And
yes.
Once again, congratulations to Nicole Marie. I'm
yes. Thank you so much, Shanta.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah,
you're
it's
welcome.
Really
appreciate
beautiful.
You so much. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay.
And we're gonna have Shanta Love to join us again live. Thank you, Shanta. We'll see you back
right.
here, okay?
All right.
Bye,
yes,
Shanta.
Shanta to come back. She is just the sweetest and awesome. We have such a great
yes,
family
she is.
Here. And want to say thank you to everybody. Really, we mean everybody on the show from all of our pieces today. We started out with the financial guys from out west and the Midwest. We got Reggie and Michael Gilbreth, who helped us out this morning. And then, of course, from Southern California, the San Diego Monitor News publisher. We're talking about Cheryl Morrow, and that whole theme continued. And, of course, Michael Hopkins, Katrina, one of the angels, Otto, Nicole Marie. I think we got everybody. And, of course, Shanta just joined us, and we just shouting everybody out. We just love all the folks who help to keep us here and sending good thoughts over to Ghana. We'll get Ebenezer back with us soon, I promise, something that's happening. Tomorrow, don't miss it. Tomorrow's a special show. We continue with our favorite TV moms from 8 to 9 is live. But 6 o'clock will replay last Friday's countdown. And then 8 o'clock, the unknown talker guy will be back with his unknown guest. He'll be joining us. We still don't know who he is. And he said he's going to bring the heat this week. Okay. He's going to bring the heat. So you don't want to miss this. Tomorrow, starting at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, it goes from 8 to 9 live for the entire hour. We're counting down the top 10 TV moms tomorrow. It's part two, the top 10 TV moms. So, again, tune in for the next Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Again, it's been an awesome show. We'll get our outro started, and we'll see you back here at 6 a.m. Eastern. Now is a good time to go over to hairradio.com and take a listen. We'll see you back here. Thanks so much for being with us today. Well, it's that time to bring this episode of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. But it does not end here. The show continues over at our 24/7 Hair Radio broadcast network at www.hairradio.com. Now, I must thank today's great guests and our legacy advertisers. These are the folks who've been supporting our show over the years, including Dr. Raglan, Yolanda Raglan at Fix Your Feet.